Parshas Vayishlach. You see from Chazal, the Gemara, and Midrashim that the Parsha Vayishlach was always learned before they had to deal with the Goyim, to know what to do in the situation, to learn from Yaakov Avinu. In fact, sometimes one has to learn it a whole year if you're dealing with them every day of the year. And as Rosh Hashiva points out, that's the Gematria of Vayishlach, 354 days, signifying the days of the lunar year. And he also says, we see from the Pasuk this point, that that's why it says Lefanav. Because actually, why do we need that word? Why couldn't it just say Vishach Yaakov Malachim Aleisa Vachiv? Why do we need the word Lefanav? To tell us that he was sending for all future generations in front of him to learn from what he did, how to deal with them. And some of the things we do learn is, for instance, as Rashi points out, Rashi brings only one Manda Omar that learns that he sent Malachim Amish, angels. And if we take a lesson from that, when we're not Zoche to be on that Madrega of having angels do our bidding, what do we do in our time? So again, we send human angels. The greatest example being the Chazal themselves, who sent the greatest of them, the Tzaddikim, to intercede for them. Yaakov tells Esav that im Laban garti v'ichar rota, that he has lived with Laban. As Rashi brings from Chazal, what was he telling with that? That garti has the gematria of tayag. He lived with Laban, a Russia, and still tayag mitzvos shamarti v'lamati mimaisav haroyim. He still kept the 613 mitzvahs, and he didn't learn from his evil ways. One can ask, is Esav a Rasha afraid from something like that? What is the point of telling Esav a Rasha something like that? So we can say that we see very clearly how Esav still understood and feared the power of a tzaddik. As he cried bitter tears when he lost the bracha of his father Yitzchak, he knew the power that a tzaddik has. We also have to ask, why does Rashi add the words Lolamati Minaisav Haroyim? Why wouldn't it be enough to just say that he kept the 613 mitzvahs? So obviously he did not learn from his evil ways of Laban. So Rav Yaakov Ruderman Zatzal answered that there are times when a person can keep the letter of the law, so to speak, but not the spirit of the law. The famous Ramban, that one can chas v'shalom be a novel birshus ha-Torah, doing wrong with, so to speak, still keeping the Torah. As Rabbi Feldman, a rav in Atlanta, gave examples beautifully how tznius in dress is not always extended to the tznius of words, and at times you can have arguments in the community, wherever, and they're not always with civility, and you can have a proper mechitza and yet so much talking that you can't even hear the chazan or the baal chayr. A person could be called orthodox and yet be influenced by the attitudes and values of the society around him. You can eat kosher but think treif. You can never think about what Hashem wants of us, only of what we want from Hashem. And one of the things that kept Yaakov from being influenced by Laban is that he always considered himself a temporary dweller, not a resident in his household. And that's also the Lashon of Garti, from the Lashon of Ger, not a Toshav. As we mentioned by Avraham Avinu, Ger v'Toshav Anochi Imachem. We also, of course, learn from Yaakov Avinu the famous three-pronged preparation which he carried out. Tefillah, which of course includes tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah. The tshuva, as we see, talked about katonti mekol hachasadim. The tefillah, of course, praying to save himself from Esav. The tzedakah, as Rashi says on Pasuk Yedalid, that after he took off Maisa, then he gave the gifts to Esav. And the second was the honey and sting. Try your best to make peace with the enemy in a friendly, nice way, as here with a matana. And if chas v'shalom that doesn't succeed, milchama, to be prepared to battle. And he splits up the camps in order that if chas v'shalom there is a battle, or even chas v'shalom if there have to be losses, to scatter your forces, to split the camps in order that there should be a remnant. And this is a very important point that we see throughout history to be learned. In fact, there's a mice in the Gemara, a Roman official approaches one of Chazal and says, "You see how nice we are to you. We don't destroy your whole people," which is not exactly what you did for us, being descendants of Esav in history. And the Chazal tell him that that's not true. It's only your gaiva, your haughtiness, that keeps you from destroying all of us. If you could, you would. And the Roman official agreed and says, "You know, you're right. Because whenever we get together and we want to do something like that, there's always the claim that we can't destroy all of them. They're not all under our dominion. As we know, Persia, there were Jews there, and the Romans did not have rule over them. So it would be only a half-done job. That is not covered for mighty Rome. They'd be the laughing stock of the other nations. And so we see throughout history, even in recent memory, Hitler, Yimach Shemo, all the Jews were not in Europe, spread out in America, especially other places. Yaakov in his tefillah asks in Pasuk Yudbeis, Hatzileini Yinoah Miyad Ochi Miyad Esav. One can ask, why is that double lashon used? It would seem that one would be enough. And the Rosh Yeshiva says beautifully that what he's telling you here is, and that's why it's mentioned first, the Achi. When Esav acts like Esav, that's enough of a problem. What's even more dangerous, when he acts like a brother and puts on a facade, falsely making himself appear to be your brother, brotherly love, as it says later on in the Pasha, Vayishakehu, when he kisses him, and there's difference of opinion if it was really meant, that's even more dangerous. That you're not prepared for the stab in the back when he's so friendly and smiling. Which teaches us how we always have to be on guard, to be prepared. Just like with the Tzachal Esav later on, when he wrestles with the Malach of Esav, and as is learned, the Satan, as the Gemara says, Satan hu malach hamavos hu yetzer hara, and a pshat given when Yaakov Avinu asks him, what is your name? And he says, Amazet Shalishmi. That Yaakov Avinu was in essence asking him, what is the essence of the yetzer hara? How can I be on guard? And the Yetzer Hara answers him that there is no specific way, ideal, that it can come in any kind of guise whatsoever. As the Gemara, as a Machlokes, whether he appeared to Yaakov Avinu as a Talmud Chacham, or as an Oved Avodah Zarah. Idolater. Whatever it takes to try to overwhelm, to get the person off the derech, Chas v'Shalom, the Yetzer Hara will use. Rav Pam is quoted as saying, for instance, the generation of World War II was a test of v'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha. Our generation, the biggest test is of v'chol modecha. The materialism, how many pleasure buttons one can push, the instant gratification, that Yetzer Hara that we see so much of, that would probably be the number one Yetzer Hara of our generation that we have to contend with and overcome. As Rosh Hashiva points out, that we can see this hinted to also by the fact that when the Malach sees he cannot overcome Yaakov Avinu, he touches him at the Kaf Yerech, Yaakov. And as we see in Parshas Akev, towards the end, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Vav, Rashi brings down that when Yadat Korach was destroyed, it says in the Pasuk, with all the substance that was beneath their feet, literally, and as Rashi explains, from Chazal, Zem Emono Shalodam Shama Mido Al Raglov, the money, the wealth of a person that supports him on his feet. And that is this support that the Malach is touching, so to speak, here also. But that will be the test to see what they do with the materialism, the wealth in their lives, how they will use it for Torah or Chas V'Shalom otherwise. Rashi brings down in Pasuk Chavav Chav Gimel Perek Lamed Beis that Yaakov Avinu was taken to task because he hid Dina from his brother. Maybe she could have caused him to do tshuva. And one can ask a big question here. What would happen if someone would read you a shirich for your daughter with a modern day Esav? I think we'd all agree that it would be probably an aveira to accept such a shirich, to throw your daughter to the lion, so to speak. So what's going on here? I did see a pshat where it says that the point was putting her into the box, hiding her is one thing, but the fact that it also benual b'faneha, that he locked it also. I would say that pshat, and you could fit it into this also, is similar to what I mentioned, the shamed Rosh Hashiva, by the crying of Esav that caused later on the crying of Mordechai. That here also, the point was 100% Yaakov was right in doing this, but the point was what his feeling was doing it. Did according to his madrega of Sitkis, did he feel any regret about it? The fact that he couldn't give his brother to his daughter, or that having thoughts even about maybe she could turn him into a tzaddik, even though the maisa, he can't do it. But the point is to have those feelings. We have from the incident with the Malach of Esav a remembrance of this incident with the Gid Anosha, the sciatic nerve, that we do not eat that, one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. And Rav Moshe Zatzal asks why we see many times that we remember something by a positive act. But here, instead of eating the Gid Anosha to remember this incident, we don't eat it. And he explains that this is to show that we don't want anything to do with the Yetzer Hara, with any Sayyam, like we mispalil every day, Loli de Nisayim, Loli de Vizayim. We should not come to any trials. We never ask for a test, as we learn from David HaMelech. If one comes, Mirtz Hashem, we should always pass it with flying colors, the highest madrigas. But the point is, we want to steer away from any kind of influence whatsoever of the Yetzer Hara. And that's why here, the remembrance is keeping away from it by not eating it. The Moshe Zatzal also points out to explain the difference between the Lishonos of Esav and Yaakov Avinu. As Rashi brings in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Esav spoke in a Lashon Gaiva, Yeshli Rav, but Yaakov spoke the way a tzaddik speaks, Yeshli Kol. What exactly is the difference between these two? Esav says, I have more than I need, I don't even know what to do with it. But the tzaddik understands that whatever he is giving from Hashem, that shows that Hashem is telling him that everything I'm giving you, there's a need for it. You have to examine and understand what it's needed for. But there's nothing I give more or less. Whatever I give, that's exactly what that person needs to do the Ritzon Hashem. And now, when Yaakov Avinu takes leave of Esav Arasha, and he tells him in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Perek Lamed Gimel, he says, Adoni Odea Ki Alodim Rakim Batzon Vapa Ka Alos Aloi I have young children, they cannot go at the pace of you and the adults that are with you. So that's the physical meaning of what Yaakov Avinu was saying. But more importantly, as Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out in Kol Dodi, what he is telling him, hinting to him, is the spiritual danger of these impressionable children, his eldest being not even bar mitzvah, Reuven. That is the bigger danger. In fact, when he has the tefillah that he tells Hashem at the beginning, that Hashem told him, the Santiya Zarachok Cholayom, why does he use that metaphor in this instance? As we know, the three basic examples, comparisons that Hashem blesses the Bnei Yisrael, each with their own properties, Kholayom, Kafara Oretz, Kholchya Shomayim. He uses Kachol Hayom there, praying, just like the sand prevents the waters from overflowing and flooding the entire area. So also, we must be as sand to withstand and prevent the spiritual attacks upon us. And that's the meaning of Yaakov here also. When Yaakov now returns to Beis Hillel and offers a karbon, and Hashem appears to him, two psukim after Shishi it says, Vayalmi alav Elokim b'makom asher diber ito. Hashem literally goes up from him in the place that he spoke with him. So Rashi says, Eni yodea ma melamdeinu, that he doesn't know what the pasuk is teaching us here, which I think Rashi says it at times. Also, because if he doesn't find a beferisha interpretation, he doesn't want to say it. But anyway, the Moshe Zatzal says in the Darash Moshe that he would say that we can learn pshat. We find one other place where this is said by Avraham Avinu, by the Bris Mila, and as he says there, that is to teach that the tzaddikim are, so to speak, the chariot of Hashem in this world. To advertise, spread His presence throughout the world by being an example of what Hashem wants of us. And therefore, when we come into the world, the first mitzvah of Bris Mila that we do with the child, that is showing that we're an Eved Hashem, this, so to speak, signature in our bodies, that we are the Eved Hashem to do His will throughout our lives. And what it's showing here is after that our lives can be considered as the avoda, the service of Hashem, just like the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash when we bring a korban to get close to Hashem, the highest way when we had the Beis Hamikdash. But Baruch Hashem, even though we don't have it, Rahman al-Islam, but we still, Hashem gives us the opportunity to serve in the best way possible that we can in every generation. The avoda, tefillah b'makom korban, and that's what this is showing here. The avoda throughout life symbolized by the madrega of the korban being brought in the Beis Hamikdash. And that's the point of B'makom Asher Diber Ito also. One of the biggest Yetzirahs, when there was the Beis Hamikdash, was to bring a korban to Hashem, but to bring it not in the Beis Hamikdash. The Yetzirahara tried to influence the person that, look, he wants to bring korban to Hashem, why should it make such a difference? But that's what's telling us here. B'makom Asher Diber Ito, it's only in the place that Hashem says, don't make your own tiras. Don't let the Yetzirahara tell you that this is just as good for your own reasons. You have to make sure it is what Hashem wants, not what you want. The same thing with the Rebbe, as Reb Ruvain beautifully points out, that if we're going to go to a Rebbe, pick out this Rebbe, and if we don't like what he says, go to a different Rebbe. If the Rebbe we have is the one that is like a Malach Hashem Tzvakos that we should listen to, that's the point of it. That's when he's a Rebbe. If you're going to search out what you would like to hear, then you're the Rebbe. That's the true test of Emunas Chachamim. When they tell you something that you can't understand, that to you it appears not the right thing, that's the true test, the litmus test, to see if your emunah is really strong. And certainly, ben b'nai shel kal v'chomer l'kosher baruch hu. Then it speaks about the death of Rachel Imenu and the matzeva, which we still have today, by the kever Rachel that Yaakov Avinu put up, as the Pasuk said, Ad Hayom. And Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out in Paparoros L'Chachma, his Sefer, Paparoros Ala Torah, that the word Matseva has a gematria of 137. And Kol Kuv Vav Lamed has a gematria of 136. This is to tell us that when we use our kol the proper way, the tefillah, that Rachel Imenu will join us with her kol to make it 137 together to fulfill our tefillahs, as it says, Kol Barama Nishma Rachel Vakal Boneha, that she will cry and pray with us. And in Yetzir Hashem, all our tefillahs will be fulfilled and accepted by Hashem for all eternity.